Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for salvation, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. We thank you for your word, Lord, that we can trust in your word, and that we, when we read it, that we can put our total trust in it to know that your grace is sufficient for no matter what we're going through and whatever situation we may find ourselves in. If we just put our total trust in your work and what you have done for us at Calvary's cross, we just thank you for the gospel, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And we pray now as we study together that we all will be enlightened and that we be encouraged and that we come away from your study tonight edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, we've been talking about confusion for not rightly dividing the word of truth. Tonight we're going to deal with just a little more of what we was talking about before we went off for a few weeks there. We have sickness and death. We also have Jesus and joy. And we're going to talk about the difference between joy and happiness, rightly divided, the word of truth. We're going to talk about the difference between joy and happiness. Now, our scriptures, 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. And we always talk about right division. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Satan will use philosophy, church tradition, and secular wisdom to mislead us. And then we have to understand what 1 Corinthians 14:33 said, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And then Philippians 4:4 said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We have sickness and death, and we also have Jesus and joy. The difference between joy and happiness, we're going to talk about that. In a few minutes, we will be discussing the difference between joy and happiness. There will be no joy when your doctrine is wrong. In other words, if you don't know what God is doing, you don't know what God's will is, you don't know what the purpose is in this day and time, guess what? You're not going to have no joy. Joy is a glorious gladness and deep delight in the person of Jesus Christ. Such joy cannot be extinguished by the circumstance of life. It is a God-given joy greater and stronger than any trouble that comes into our lives. Paul says plainly, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Many do not understand how we can rejoice and have joy even while sick and even when death comes along. Many are happy when their body is feeling well, but lose all hope, and there is no joy when a sickness comes along. But Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. This shows the depth of emotion that comes from joy. What the Word of God is saying, if we trust in it, if we trust it, that we all can feel the sorrow of sin and loss and grief, and at the same time, we can be joyful in the Lord for his forgiveness, his sufficiency, and his comfort. With the COVID and the Omicron viruses and deaths from them, many are confused today from not rightly dividing the word of truth, my brothers and sisters. And they hold to the doctrine of healing and the atonement. And what they go to, they predicate it upon Isaiah 53:5. Behind this belief and teaching is that Jesus Christ purchased physical healing for us at the Calvary. The word atonement obviously being Christ's sacrificial death. Is this really what the prophet Isaiah was saying in that famous passage? Let's look at God's word and see what it actually says. Indeed, Isaiah 53:5 says of Messiah's cross work, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But before we just grab part of the verse, We like and make it say something that we want it to say. We need to let the Bible interpret it. The effectual working of the Holy Spirit would teach us, my brothers and sisters, it is supposed by those who are confused that through Jesus' shed blood, we have the authority to declare healing and recovery from every disease and illness. The belief from many that are confused is that we are Christians. We should not be sick or dying. They believe that Father God has guaranteed us Christians physical healing. We just have to claim that deliverance in Jesus' name. We are told not to believe the diagnosis from medical professions while they see cancer in us, heart disease in us, or some other, my brothers and sisters, verifiable medical condition. We are told to ignore that reality and live in a delusional world. We are urged to declare, I have Jesus, not cancer. I have Jesus, not a heart disease, knee injury, arthritis, diabetes, or back pain. When we think and believe this way, it is extremely dangerous, spiritually and physically, and you will never experience God's joy in the midst of sorrow, sickness, and death. In fact, it is not faith at all. It is unbelief. This is where the blaming of God comes in with many saints who are confused. The Apostle Peter quoted Isaiah 53:5 in 1 Peter 2:24. We will look at this verse in context. 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin. This is Peter, one of the 12 apostles, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was revived not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Through Peter, the Holy Spirit interpreted Isaiah 53, my brothers and sisters. He interpreted for us, the healing is not physical healing. It is a spiritual healing, a healing of the soul, forgiveness of sin, the spirit given life. He bare our sins, what Peter said, on his own body on the tree, in his own body. It's indicative of spiritual healing rather than a physical healing. By the way, the verse before Isaiah 53:5, verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 53, is a reference to physical healing under special circumstances. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. The Holy Spirit interprets this verse for us in Matthew 8:16-17. Look at what that says, Matthew 8:16-17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Isaiah 53:4 predicted the Messiah's healing ministry that was to the nation of Israel, if you didn't know that. The miraculous demonstrations that validated the gospel of the kingdom that he and his apostles preached. The sickness that brought Israel sorrow, Jesus came and healed them. Their infirmities that brought them grief, Jesus came and healed them. Please make special note that Jesus' earthly ministry of healing miracles occurred before the cross. Not at the cross or through the cross. Those physical healing verses referenced above were not written to or about us in the dispensation of grace. Talking about us. You read 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. I'll read 16 for you. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Look what Paul said. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, working for us, are far more exceeding the eternal weight of glory. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things of which are not seen are eternal. Our outward bodies are perishing. Look at yourself. They are perishing. They are decaying and dying. They are going back to the dust. Come away from the confusion and study God's word, God's way, rightly divided, and know that we are subject to sickness. We can and do have sickness, and whether well or sick, we still have Jesus and can enjoy that joy that's in him. It is not that we ignore our sickness and refuse medical treatment. We have sickness, and we also have Jesus Christ. It is not we have Jesus, not sickness. I hope you get that. Whether or not we live with a sickness for the rest of our earthly lives is irrelevant. But, my brothers and sisters, God's grace is still sufficient in all troubles. As Paul learned about his own trials, tribulations, and illnesses, 2 Corinthians 12:7-12, if you read it, we can glory in our tribulations, my brothers and sisters. If you read Romans 5:1-5, go back and read Romans 5:1-5, my brothers and sisters. We can glory in our troubles, our trials, and tribulations, my brothers and sisters. Find value in those trials and tribulations and troubles. Whether or not that sickness is terminal, in other words, whether or not it take our life, is irrelevant. God has given us the grace to endure all of life's troubles. Philippians 4:13 said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So when you look and listen to all these folks that believe that they got that physical healing, when they read these verses in Isaiah, them who think they shouldn't get sick, if you ask them to open up their medicine cabinets, I guarantee you, they got bottles of medicine. Something for this, something for that. My brothers and sisters, we're going to get sick. And if we keep on living, we're going to die. My brothers and sisters, we can use the eyes of faith to see that these problems are only temporary. My brothers and sisters, thank God that they are not forever. Compared to eternity, they are a simple blink of the eye, a fraction of a second, nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us in health or in sickness. If you read Romans 5:35-39, my brothers and sisters, if we read what the scripture says right here. Let me see, can I get it for you? And we'll read, my brothers and sisters, what we have here tonight. Let me get the chapter here for you. But I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, the scripture that we have. Paul talked about it, and he told us in God's word. I want to make sure I got my scriptures right here, because I got my scriptures right. It's Romans 8, and I want you to understand what Paul is saying here. Romans 8, my brothers and sisters, who shall separate us from the love, my brothers and sisters, of Christ? Paul says, shall tribulations, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loveth. Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, my brothers and sisters. Now, we got that. Nothing, my brothers and sisters. There is a spiritual healing available through Jesus Christ's work at Calvary's cross. In Christ, there is forgiveness of sin, abounding grace, unparalleled peace. All that we need is in ours in Jesus Christ. Come away from the confusion and know that at this moment that we have not been promised miraculous bodily healing in this dispensation of grace. Many have deceived themselves into thinking that doctors can save lives. But the truth is, my brothers, there has never been a doctor that has saved even one single life. All a doctor or medication can do is help relieve symptoms temporarily to some future date. Jesus Christ is the only one who rescues us from the grave. Only he saves us from death and destruction. Our physical bodies will die, but our souls have hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even the richest and what some consider the most powerful in this world will come, will one day die and face judgment. All the rich and powerful from the world's perspective have come and gone. They have had their day in the sun. Now it has passed from them. Even who the world considers the greatest of the earth are not spurred from the grave. Even they have an appointment with death. All who live upon the earth will one day walk through the door of death unless the rapture take place. Many of our friends and loved ones names are gone and have vanished from this world. All we have are their memories. Their time on earth was brief, but the word of the Lord is eternal. These bodies continue to get sick, weak, and eventually die. Look forward to our glorified bodies that will not get sick and die. Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 3, 20 through 21, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Let me stop and say this, my brothers and sisters. Please don't get caught up in the world system. I was sitting talking to my wife, and we were just talking about what the world talks about. And when one of their celebrities or stars die, or if they were a Christian but lived their life for the world and not God, if they were a believer, you wouldn't even know it because it was never mentioned or you didn't hear nothing about their love for our Lord and Savior or them being saved. You didn't hear anything about the work of the ministry of the Lord or souls being saved. All you hear is their worldly accolades. There should be a vast difference between a Christian funeral and that of a non-believer. It is the difference between light and darkness, joy and sorrow, hope and despair, heaven and hell. A Christian funeral should first and foremost reflect the words of the Apostle Paul. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Paul is saying, brothers and sisters, who have put their trust in the finished work at Calvary's cross, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. If we really don't believe the truth of God and live in it, then our witness will be confusing and misleading. Most of us go through life not recognizing that our lives have been deeply affected by the world through the media and other influences. We get tangled up and lose sight on God's will for men. What is God's will? He says it. Who will have, 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. The world's tradition and thinking affects our thinking more than we realize. Many are taken captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ and his word. You read Colossians 2:8, what we just talked about, my brothers and sisters. We must rightly divide the word of truth. If we capture and embrace more of God's word right divided and trust in it with unwavering faith, then we will begin to make the right decisions and form the appropriate responses to so many of the why questions that the confused and those who have turned their ears away from the truth are asking. When you are confused, your life will have no purpose. You are like a ship tossed on a sea, battered by the storms and winds of life. There are reasons when your life has no purpose and joy. Maybe you are blatantly living in sin. Let's start with the obvious here. If we're blatantly disobeying the Bible, we're not living in God's purpose for us in the dispensation of grace, and we will certainly experience a sense of aimlessness in our life. There is no joy or excitement in the life, in your life. If you wake up every day filled with dread or total boredom, you're probably not doing what ambassador for Christ are meant to do. God has really good things planned for us in the ages to come. Look what Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he has loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness. We know that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. Isn't that amazing? Here we have it, love, joy, and peace. So when the Holy Spirit comes and resides in us, we can start to express this fruit of the Holy Spirit, working effectually through the Word of God, rightly divided. That's where we find joy. With all the spiritual blessings we have been blessed with in heavenly places, we should have joy in our lives. Knowing God's grace is sufficient is something to rejoice about. Sure, there will be difficult things when we encounter that requires patience and persistence, but overall, we should have a sense of joy and excitement that fills our day, our work, our relationship. When you are confused, you desperately want to change, but you feel totally stuck in your life. Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The confused are those who are stuck and want to go in a particular direction, but don't know how to get there. The key is that it's not God's way. So they spin their wheels. They're not doing it God's way. So they spin their wheels, feeling endless frustrated, but unsure of how to make the frustration end. There is a simple fix, and that is study God's word right divided, walk in his word right divided. Being confused and having no sense of direction make you constantly feel a sense of aimlessness. You're wandering from thing to thing without any forward progress, like not having an understanding of sickness and death. Nothing excites you, and you don't have any sense or knowledge of what God's will is for us in the dispensation of grace. Many look for happiness instead of joy. So a lot of people can get these two confused. But as Christians, we are called to be joyful. Paul said, rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. The difference between joy and happiness is substantial. Let me say this, my brothers and sisters, and that is, if our happiness is found outside of God, then it must be found in the world. Our circumstances or ourselves, if it's found in our circumstances or ourselves and these things, they are fragile, fleeting, and often fraudulent. The only happiness we can have outside of God is temporary, which sets us up for disappointment and even despair when it disappears. We often assume that the fleeting feeling of happiness, giddy laughter, and contentment in the comfort of life is akin to the joy we experience in Jesus. But joy we have in Christ supernaturally sustains our souls in seasons of heartaches, injustice, and sorrow. Enduring the valleys of life is nearly impossible without the life-giving fuel of joy in Christ. There is a big difference between joy and happiness. 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. This shows the depth of emotion that comes from joy. What the Word of God is saying, if we trust it, is that we all can feel the sorrow of sin and loss and grief, and at the same time be joyful in the Lord for His forgiveness, His sufficiency, and His comfort. Happiness that many get from the world is a temporary reaction to something great. It has no eternal value. Joy is the product of someone great, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Happy for many is more of a roller coaster emotion. Many are giving all their efforts and time to pursue happiness, and they have turned their ears away from the truth, God's word, in search of money, pleasure, status, the affection of others, or other worldly pursuits. These things may satisfy for a short while, but never give us the deep joy in Christ for which we were designed. We are far too easily pleased. Jesus offers true, lasting joy, a joy that surpasses all worldly pleasures and sustains during all of life. A joy that sustains us through trials and hardships and lasts forever and ever. We find this joy in Christ by beholding by faith God's grace and love to us in Christ. Happiness changes based on many life circumstances. Many can be happy one minute and excited about life when they have a few dollars in the bank, or they have a nice home and cars, all the temporary things in life that have no eternal value. They are happy one minute, and then in the next they are dreading life, and they are not happy whatsoever because life circumstances change. Something bad happened or whatever. Their happiness can go away so quickly. My friend, there is something deeper about joy when we think of it in a spiritual context. There is something much deeper when we look at it spiritually. Joy is one of the vital gauges on the dashboard of the Christian life. When the needle dips, when you lose your joy, you should take note. When you stop singing the wonderful praise of God's grace, that is a warning to watch your doctrine closely. So often we find ourselves quoting a little verse of scripture that comes from the Old Testament. It says in Nehemiah 8:10, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." The term, "the joy of the Lord is your strength," is found there. It's after the children of Israel returned to Jerusalem from exile. They were listening to the law being read by the prophet Ezra, and they were overcome with condemnation and were weeping. And when Ezra priest was reading the law to the people, it produced sorrow because their lives and behavior not in alignment with the law. But instead of being rebuked and condemned, they were instructed to celebrate because of the joy of the Lord. Why would the Lord have joy when they were a bunch of sinners? The children of Israel were never known for their perfect behavior. They were known for being the people of God. They were here. He loved him. His people had been separated from him in exile for years, and when finally reunited to him, God had his beloved people back. Why would he not have joy? Joyfulness in the Lord is consistent. It's not based on external circumstances, but spiritual things we have in Jesus Christ. Joy is something that can empower us, that give us the ability to move forward in Christ when things are tough. We can take great courage from that great strength, from that joy of the Lord is your strength. It suggests that there is far more to joy than perhaps just great happiness. Joy is something that's also contagious. When you feel joyous, even in the midst of suffering of this present time, or for the suffering for Christ's sake, or in the midst of life struggles, or when life shows up, when you can't pay your bills because of losing your job, or when you got fired, when your marriage is failing, or you end up divorced, or you're grieving over a loved one or a friend who passed away, or when you're in any situation when you need to rely on God's grace and His faithfulness, that's where you get the great joy in God. When you choose that joy in those situations, other people notice. The biblical meaning of joy, in contrast, is not a fleeting feeling with worldly roots. The best personification of biblical joy is the story of Job. He was stripped of things so dear to him he had on this earth, but he never lost his faith in God. Job knew his situation was so heart-wrenching, and he did not sugarcoat his pain. His conversation with God was frank, yet he never forgot who God was. Job 26:7 says, he stretched out the north over the empty place, and hanging the earth upon nothing. Joy is rooted in who God is. Our Father's holy, righteous, long-suffering, compassionate, and all-knowing. Our plans to align with his rightly divided, his word, not just to ask God to bless our intentions. We are wise to pray for our plans to align with his rightly divided word. Job possessed the wisdom to know God's character and the strong faith to hold on to what he knew to get through to him. That's the difference between what the world called happiness and biblical joy. Though our lives seem to be falling apart, and we may have every right to fly the victim flag, we instead choose to place our lives in the capable hands of the Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Joy isn't fleeting, and it doesn't exist with peachy keen circumstances. It remains. The Spirit gives us eyes to see the beauties of Jesus that call joy out of our hearts. We can rejoice and say like Apostle Paul said, in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That's something to rejoice about, my brothers and sisters. The Apostle Paul says plainly, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What news? In Christ, we never have to be without genuine happiness and joy that comes from being in Christ and walking in his word, right, divine. And yet also so haunting because of how often we lose our sense of joy. The joy that God, throughout the scriptures, command of his people. Why would Paul repeat himself? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He knew how hard such always joy would always often be. He wrote this word as he often did from a prison. Philippians 1:13. Yet in the loneliness and uncertainty of captivity, he had found real joy in the Lord. He could say always because he had suffered so much and rejoiced in those dark, lonely, and painful places. If your soul is satisfied in Christ, you will rejoice in Christ. Take your eyes off Christ and you'll lose your joy. Christian joy is the barometer of your spiritual life. My brothers and sisters, never settle for a God who cannot comfort and strengthen you in a prison cell. In other words, when you are going through the suffering for Christ's sake, and even during the sufferings of this present time, if you only enjoy God when life seems good, follow Paul's joy he told us to have in Philippians. There you will find something more precious than gold, even much finer than gold, something sweeter than honey, and anything else you might enjoy in this life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice, my brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray as those who listen in that they were encouraged and that they were enlightened and that they were edified in your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.